Looks like everybody is here. Michael Thomas is advising the board on this matter, and we have another attorney from the State Water Resources Control Board. That's Michael Levy. Mr. Levy, are you on the phone?
Good afternoon, everybody.
Okay. And you're advising the board on this matter, correct?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. And we did lose Vice Chair Jeffries. He is gone. But we still have five members of the board that are here for this matter.
Okay.
Okay. I will go ahead and read the chairman's opening statement. This is the time and place for a hearing by the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board for consideration of proposed waste discharge requirements, rescission of existing waste charge requirements, and consideration of a cease and desist order against Casa de Montgomery, Santa Cruz County. The order of presentation at this hearing will be as follows. Number one, witnesses called by prosecution staff. Two, cross-examination of regional board prosecution staff, witnesses by the discharger. Three, witnesses called by the discharger. Four, cross-examination of discharger's witnesses by regional board prosecution staff. Five, representatives of agencies, and six, other interested persons. Seven will be summation or closing statements by the discharger and prosecution staff. As this item includes an enforcement action, we separate functions of staff so that the staff that are prosecuting this item don't have any communication with the board or board advisors. For this hearing, the prosecution team consists of staff engineer Michael Higgins, who's at the podium, and staff enforcement coordinator Harvey Packard, and under the direction of Executive Officer Roger Briggs, and they're represented by Counsel Lori Okun. Neither Counsel Lori Okun nor Executive Officer Roger Briggs have been advising the Water Board in this matter. Board members and staff counsel may ask questions to clarify testimony of a witness at any time. Each person who testifies at this hearing shall begin by stating his or her name and address unless the address has already been given. All persons who may testify at this hearing, please stand now. Even if you don't plan to testify but are involved in this matter, raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony which you will give in this matter is the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Packard.
Thank you. Staff presentation will be given by Michael Higgins.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I am Mike Higgins, the area engineer for Santa Cruz County. And as the chairman indicated, we are here to ask the board to consider revised waste discharge requirements R3-2007-0050, which I will refer to as Order 50 from now on, and cease and desist order R3-2007-0051, which I'll refer to as Order 51 from now on in this hearing. The Order 50 would rescind existing waste discharge requirements Order 01-037 and would prohibit further discharge, and cease and desist order I'll get to that in a minute. In summary, Mr. Chairman, since the board adopted waste discharge requirements in 2001, the discharger has not complied with the board's waste discharge requirements. He has not complied with a court injunction obtained by the county district attorney, and he has not complied with notices to repair his septic system from the county health department. The discharger has avoided compliance for more than 6 years. He has continued to discharge waste in violation of waste discharge requirements, and he has recently been found to discharge untreated sewage from his property to surface water. Therefore, staff concludes he should not be granted the privilege of discharging waste into the state's waters. This item includes proposed orders, as I said, that would rescind his existing WDRs, and future waste discharges at the facility may only occur after the wastewater plant is upgraded and the regional board adopts waste discharge requirements for that upgraded operation. This action follows continual efforts by staff since 2001 to make it as easy as possible for the discharger to comply before attempting to force the discharger to comply by means of notices of violations and enforcement letters. Staff ultimately concluded the discharger does not intend to comply and with waste discharge requirements. By way of background, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, in 1995, the board adopted Resolution 9504, which requires that dischargers remove half the nitrogen from their domestic wastewater when they're discharging in the San Lorenzo River watershed. Accordingly, in 2001, the board adopted orders, waste discharge requirement orders, requiring such nitrogen removal at 8 plants in the San Lorenzo River watershed, which include the county's Rolling Woods plant, the Boulder Creek Golf and Country Club plant, the Bear Creek Estates plant, San Lorenzo High School, the California Department of Forestry's Ben Lomond Camp, Brookdale Lodge, the Inn at Pasatiempo, and Casa de Montgomery. All other dischargers that the board issued waste discharge requirements for are either in compliance or in the process of complying. The discharger, Mr. Arlen Hafner, owns and operates the wastewater treatment and disposal plant serving a boarding house at the Casa de Montgomery, which is also known as the Happy Valley Villa. This map shows the location of the Casa de Montgomery on Branch of 40 Creek, which is very near the city of Santa Cruz and which carries waste down into the San Lorenzo River and its estuary. The regional board staff have been working to develop TMDLs for the San Lorenzo River and the San Lorenzo River estuary for both pathogens and, for pathogens. In 2001, the waste discharge requirements the board adopted required the discharger to remove half the nitrogen and required him to upgrade his treatment plant. However, the discharger has not upgraded the plant, and he claims his existing plant removes half the nitrogen. But he has never submitted monitoring data. Well, he's not submitted enough monitoring data required by the WDRs and other correspondents to demonstrate that his plant actually does remove the nitrogen as he says it does, and in fact he has not submitted any monitoring data since 2003. As described in the staff report, where all detail is for this discharger and this proposed item, in staff's professional judgment, the existing plant does not remove the nitrogen as required. However, notwithstanding his claim that he does remove the nitrogen, he paid for a design for the upgrade and that was developed by a registered engineer. And in staff's judgment, this proposed upgrade would, in fact, adequately remove the nitrogen. However, the discharger has not responded to staff's review comments on the design or contracted for anyone to build the plant. Furthermore, he has not paid his annual fees in the last 4 years. He paid it for this year. This table in the staff report, and that's shown on the screen, summarizes all the items that the executive officer or the WDRs have required of the discharger and shows the number of times he has complied. And you can see the notice of violation letters of the 3 that were sent, none were complied with. of 13267 letters, of the three that were sent, none were complied with. Reminder letters and reminding him of his commitments to comply in accordance with milestones in the WDRs and other documents, three were sent, none complied with. Requests for information by the executive officer, three were sent, none complied with. As I stated, of the annual fees in the last 4 years, one was paid. Monitoring reports since 2001, 5 out of 12 were submitted, and again, none since 2003. And biweekly nitrogen monitoring reports that were required in his WDRs were not submitted. This
Mr. Higgins.
Yes.
Why hasn't staff brought an ACL hearing?
The spring of 2005, we're developing such a complaint and decided alternatively to ask the county district attorney to take this on because we believe that that was a more direct route of enforcement, okay. Which he did do so.
Okay.
The discharger did not comply with the district attorney's injunction, which required him to comply with our WDRs, with your WDRs. Furthermore, he has not complied with the DA's requirement to set up a monitoring program. In addition to this monitoring, where we would split samples to demonstrate whether or not his treatment plant worked. That never happened. Furthermore, he's not complied with recent notices of intent from the county health department to repair his septic system, which is occasionally, not at the present time, but has leaked raw sewage into drainage ways leading to Branch of 40 Creek. Through these failures, the discharger has made it impossible for the board to determine whether he is complying with requirements imposed by the board to ensure the beneficial protection of the beneficial uses. Mr. Chairman, the discharger may try to argue that staff's professional judgment that the existing plant cannot nitrify or denitrify is incorrect. The staff report, however, goes into detail describing exactly what a nitrification, denitrification plant needs to comprise to effectively do that, and these slides provide the evidence that staff uses to determine that this plant in no way could nitrify or denitrify.
We'll get back to this one.
This is part of the plant, alleged plant, pipes coming out of the ground, attached to some to a plastic jug going back into the ground.
What's the date for that photo?
That would be 2004. Again, the pipe at the lower left coming into this sealed bucket is the influent pipeline. The bucket is vented. The pipeline goes out. You can see it's also vented, but that's really all you can tell about this component of this alleged treatment plant. Here is shown because it's exceedingly unworkmanlike. I should say that no design for any plant prior to the one for this plant was ever submitted. No design for any plant that actually was built on the property was ever submitted for either the regional board's review or the county. It's impossible for staff to really discern the purpose of such a contrivance where you've got a pipe that is partially buried and has partially wrapped with corrugated insulation. Again, here's a partially buried perforated pipeline that serves no discernible purpose in my professional experience, nor in the professional experience of other professional engineers who have seen this on our staff. Here's another example. The red arrow in the top corner shows the slide that was just shown. Partially buried perforated pipeline. Here we have the yellow line with the upper yellow arrow is to show a mound, and the blue line shows another mound. Presumably there are perforated pipes buried there, which is certainly not in accordance with any design procedure that would be acceptable. You see this roofing, the lower red arrow that is partially buried. It's ramshackle, it's unworkmanlike, and does not provide the necessary components to cause nitrification, and certainly not allow for denitrification. Water Code Section 13263 states that all dischargers into waters of the state are privileges and not rights. To encourage a regional board to grant them the privilege of discharging waste, dischargers normally try to comply with waste discharge requirements imposed by the board. In so doing, they protect the beneficial uses of the state's waters. Conversely, a discharger who continually fails to comply with waste discharge requirements demonstrates he should not be granted the privilege of discharging waste into the state's waters. This is the board's essentially ultimate action, is to revoke the privilege of discharging into the state's waters. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the discharger may claim that he could not comply. He was unable to comply with waste discharge requirements, with monitoring, with paying his fees, with collecting his mail. But in the 6 years since you've adopted the order, the discharger has been healthy and physically able to do these actions. I think, in my opinion, and I believe it's evident that he's able to do that. Therefore, the failure to comply is a result of his unwillingness to comply, his willing noncompliance. Accordingly, staff recommends the board adopt WDR's Order 50, which rescinds the existing WDR's order and prohibits waste discharge at the Casa de Montgomery. Also, we recommend you adopt Cease and Desist Order 51, which orders the discharger, his successors, and assigns from discharging waste in violation of Order 50. The CDO also allows the executive officer to apply to the State Attorney General for judicial enforcement without another regional board hearing. This would ease enforcement. Adoption of these orders would effectively revoke the discharger's privilege to discharge waste into the state's waters. Their adoption would also require any future discharger at the Casa de Montgomery to upgrade the treatment and disposal system to comply with Resolution 95-04 before board staff would support drafting new WDRs for the board to consider. Thank you. If there are any questions.
Mr. Shellcross.
In the staff report, says that this is a boarding house that can accommodate up to 20 residents. Are there any residents there now?
No, sir. The district attorney has communicated to us that through a criminal action that the district attorney took against the discharger for violations of the fire code, a condition of his probation is that there be no residents in the boarding house.
Okay. And then my other question is, how do we enforce this? I mean, from your presentation, it sounds like the gentleman is pretty recalcitrant in doing anything requested of him. So I'm wondering how enforcement works.
Well, the county has prohibited anybody from living there, so there's no more waste discharge there. And they are going, in their latest correspondence, they have indicated essentially that they are going to red tag the facility and demonstrate or post it saying that it's uninhabitable. So the only way any future discharge could occur would be for a discharger, proposed discharger, to upgrade the plant, as I said, and propose and demonstrate that to board staff. And if they started to discharge at the facility under a county prohibition, then the county would take enforcement action.
Okay.
Their DA.
Thank you.
Any other board questions at this point, Mr. Thomas?
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
Mr. Levin. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the last. I just did have one question of Mr. Higgins, please.
Go ahead.
Is the purpose of the cease and desist order primarily the referral to the Attorney General or the authority to submit the referral?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Thomas?
I said one question. About Mr. Higgins, you said that there are no people living there now because there is an order from the DA's office, or that was a condition of his parole, I think you said.
Probation.
Yes.
Probation. Does that mean there shouldn't be any people living there, or there are no people living there? Do we know that there are no people living there, and therefore
we
no
do decision? Not know specifically, except in accordance with what the DA has informed us.
Okay.
All right. thank you, Mr. Higgins. Ms. Shovel? Okay. Did you want to ask any questions of the prosecution team staff?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. Then we'll then proceed to your presentation. And you're representing Mr. Hafner?
I am.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Mr. Hafner contacted my office in July following a fire on this property in the actual residence, Casa de Montgomery. That is subject to separate qualifications than what's being put on the boarding house. The boarding house has been shut down per the terms of his probation. And at least when I inspected the property, there is absolutely no one there, and my understanding is no one has been there since. Mr. Hafner has not been able to be here today because of his condition following the fire. However, I have been in communication with Mr. Higgins, and first of all, I would like to thank him for how generous he's been with his time. Many of the records that were pertinent to this hearing were destroyed in the fire, and he brought me up to speed in terms of what had been done and what had been served on my client. The facts which have been presented by the staff are not inaccurate. There has not been an installation of the planned replacement system. That has not been commenced. The fire in Casa de Montgomery unfortunately resulted in learning that the property was underinsured, and the funds that were earmarked to go into other things are now being used to maintain that residence up to code and so forth. When there will be funds available to do this, Mr. Hafner is not sure. However, he has right now a good faith buyer who is working with him and with a Ken Mavey, environmental consultant, about the meeting the requirements that have been imposed and changing the system and removing the old system. When that sale will actually be finished and when that new system will be installed is still not clear. I haven't actually talked to Mr. Mabee or the potential buyer, Mr. Graves, so I am taking this on the statement of my client during the last few days. However, I understand that this development has been in the last 2 weeks, and there is no escrow yet, but a condition of the sale will be the upgrading of the system. In terms of the cease and desist order, he is aware of the ramifications of that. With no one being on the property, that has a very, it's not as profound an impact as if he were still operating the rooming house. However, my impression when I spoke to him is that he has been in some disarray for several years in terms of both his finances and his organization. What I'm seeing now is someone who has simply not recovered from the events of the last 2 months with the fire in his home and the things that have been destroyed. Prior to that time, I didn't know Mr. Hafner, but from talking with his business associates and trying to construct how long this problem had been going on, it appears as though there's been a fair amount of organizationally impaired people working on this project, and Mr. Hafner is not someone who obviously responds immediately to any kind of problems that presents itself. It's put off, and he basically got himself into a corner, and when the fire happened, whatever resources he had to address this problem were used simply to save his home. So financially, that's why he's decided to sell the property. That may end up being a win-win for everyone in terms of the plan being put into effect much more quickly than perhaps Mr. Hafner could have done. And I had informed the staff of this today, and I wanted to inform the board of this today. Mr. Hafner has not employed anyone himself. I understand that it is the buyer who has contacted Mr. Mabee, and that is why Mr. Mabee is not here to confirm it today.
Well, I hope that whatever orders the board issues today will be given to any potential buyer.
Oh, yes. The buyer is aware of the situation. I haven't met him face-to-face yet, but my understanding is he is aware of the pending action.
Okay.
And if
not this buyer, any subsequent buyers?
Well, it is a matter of public record, so I'm sure it'll have to be disclosed.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
No, I didn't know if you had any other questions.
Any board questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Does the prosecution team have any questions for Ms. Schivel?
Just a couple, actually. Can you clarify? You mentioned that repair of the system was a condition of the sale. Is Mr. Hafner going to repair the system or the new owner?
I'm not sure how they've bargained that out. They are aware that the requirement will be to have the new system underway and the old system completely removed, such as it is. And when I spoke to your staff today, I wanted to clarify what their requirements would be. They've explained it, and I simply have to talk to both Mr. Graves and Mr. Hafner about that. I'm not quite sure. I'm assuming that it has to be done before there's a sale, but that's an assumption on my part.
Okay. You mentioned two buildings. There's the boarding house, and then there's a residence. Which one is known as Casa de Montgomery?
The residence.
The residence.
That's actually separate.
And it's completely destroyed?
I don't think it's completely destroyed. I believe it's partially destroyed. Much of the living quarters were destroyed.
Is it inhabitable?
Not at this time.
How big is it compared to the boarding house?
I don't know the square footage.
Is it smaller or bigger?
It's a substantial home, but I don't know the square footage.
The gatehouse, former gatehouse that Mr. Hafner occupied, is very much smaller than the boarding house, which is a several stories.
So the boarding house is bigger?
The boarding house is much bigger. It's several stories, and the gatehouse is maybe 900 square feet. Very small.
Okay.
My understanding, there was a third structure. Perhaps that was torn down before I went there.
I'm sorry, I've lost those comments. If you could repeat that, please.
My understanding is there was a third structure. Perhaps that was removed before I got there, because I went several weeks after the fire. But there is a small structure. There is the boarding house. And my understanding is that Casa de Montgomery was more than that small gatehouse.
Hmm. You mentioned that Mr. Hafner's resources since the fire have been spent on restoring or rebuilding or fixing the fire damage, yet that only occurred a month or two ago. Do you have any reason why he wasn't spending money upgrading the system before the fire?
No, and frankly, I think that the boarding house itself was a losing proposition and was the primary source of his income. As I said, his affairs seemed to be in quite a bit of disarray long before the fire.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I don't think we got your full name, because I knew
my name
is
Elizabeth Chevelle. It's spelled S-H-I-V-E-L-L. I'm an attorney in San Jose.
Okay. And you had mentioned that you had been to the property.
Yes, I was in the property in July, mid-July.
July of this year.
Yes.
And you didn't see anybody there at that time?
Only Mr. Hafner.
Okay.
He was leading me through it.
Okay. Is he living there?
No, it's uninhabitable at this point.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Packard? Okay. Mr. Thomas?
I just want to clarify that if the board goes with staff's recommendations, there will be no waste discharge requirements for Mr. Hafner or for the new owner. So there was a discussion just now about who's going to upgrade the facility, and there's no ability to discharge. There's no permit to discharge if the board does adopt.
Right. There will be waste discharge requirements, but all they do is prohibit the discharge. If a new buyer comes in and, by agreement with Mr. Hafner or otherwise, upgrades the system so it's eligible for WDRs, then staff will issue or will recommend the WDRs to the board.
In a separate action.
Right. Right. We would have to come back to the board.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm not
yes.
sure if I heard it, but was Ms. Chabel asking for anything specifically or just giving an explanation to the board?
Well, we'll let her.
My client had requested an additional 6 months to comply with the requirements, and I, after conferring with your staff, advised him that that was probably not forthcoming. And then his next question was regarding what next steps he could take before he transfers title in terms of upgrading the system, or what would that be required of the person purchasing the property. And it appears from the discussions that I have with my client as though it may be a condition of sale that he implements the plans that he had designed some time ago.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Do we have any representatives of other governmental agencies here that wish to speak on this agenda item? Okay. Other interested persons? I don't have any other speaker cards. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to address the board on this? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move then to summation. Mr. Packard?
We appreciate Ms. Chevelle being here to offer these explanations. We certainly wouldn't recommend the board delaying any action on this for any time, let alone 6 months. I also think we would be very reluctant in the future to bring a new WDRs in the name of Mr. Hafner. You know, a new owner maybe, but I think we would be very reluctant to do that in the future. And we have nothing further other than to recommend adoption of the orders as proposed.
Okay. Ms. Chevelle, do you have any closing argument? None? Okay. All right. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
This seems about as straightforward as anything we've seen in a long time. I'm going to move for staff recommendation.
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Before you proceed, may I just chime in on a couple of issues really quickly?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Just on the draft WDR on Order 50. Let me pull it up here. On page 3, paragraph 15, there's a typographical error. On the last line, it refers to California Code of Regulations, Title 14, Chapter 3. And the last citation is 1321. It should be 15321. There's a 5 that's been omitted.
Okay.
And that should be corrected. In addition, just to point out the language in paragraph 14 recites that the factors that are discussed in that paragraph do not outweigh the need to protect beneficial uses. Just to clarify for the record that it's not balancing, it's just that the board has considered the factors and it doesn't need to prescribe any weighing of the factors, just consider them. The language is fine, I just wanted to make that clear. And one more in the cease and desist order, order 51, page 1, paragraph 2, I would recommend changing the word in where it starts in particular, about two-thirds of the way down the paragraph, to additionally, because the sentence as written seems to suggest that the basis of noncompliance is limited to the failure to submit annual fees and monitoring reports, and changing it to additionally would clarify that there are substantive requirements that were violated as well. And one more matter, which is up to the board's discretion, is the WDR proposes to vacate the original WDR's order number 2001-01-037, and in the board's discretion, it's at liberty maintain the validity of those former WDRs for purposes of enforcing violations of that order if the board chooses to do so. And if the board wanted me to recommend language to preserve that right, I could do so.
Did you follow that, Michael?
I didn't follow that.
Can you email that to us?
Oh,
you got it? Okay.
And if you want the language to maintain the prior WDRs in place for purposes of enforcement, either Mr. Levy can suggest that or I can suggest it.
You think that's a good idea?
Do I think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what you expect from the discharger. It would preserve the right of the regional board to do so. Of course, enforcing on that old order, you're rescinding the WDRs now. It may not be necessary, but you might want to keep that in place in the event further violations continue to occur.
Okay.
I think we should keep our options open.
Can I respond to that? I think that the only enforcement of the rescinded order would be to issue administrative civil liabilities, and it's something that staff considered, and it didn't seem to be the most effective enforcement tool in this case. In terms of ongoing violations, I don't think it's necessary to keep the prior order in force, because if you accept staff's proposal and adopt these orders, then you'll have orders in place prohibiting the discharge.
That's correct. The utility would be to reserve the right to assess civil liability for the past violations in addition to any future violations. And again, it's purely on the board's pleasure what they choose to do.
Well, because of the situation, and we don't have the gentleman here, I think we should maintain all the rights that we have. It's not clear what's going to be happening in the future, so.
Mr. Levy, do we need a language change to reserve those rights, or does the board just need to state it in a motion?
The language would change in the WDR, page 4, paragraph B1, and at the end of "is hereby rescinded," you would add the words, comma, "except for the purpose of enforcing any violations of that order."
Okay. I'll reiterate my motion with those changes.
And incorporating the last...
Incorporate...
change.
All the changes that were recommended by our attorney.
Yeah.
And before you do that, you may want to see if Ms. Scheibel has any comment to make on that as well.
Yeah, no. She was shaking her head all along.
Right. So. Okay, Mr. Packard?
I also forgot to mention there is a supplemental sheet which recommended a few other changes, mainly date changes from July 6th to August 23rd to reflect the hearing date.
Okay, and those will be incorporated into this motion.
Yes, they will be incorporated.
Okay.
So that's the motion.
That's the motion. We still have our second?
Yes.
Any other comments? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
May I clarify, that was a 5-0 vote?
Yes, it was.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. This hearing is convened. Mr. Levy, thank you for helping us out and participating from Sacramento.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you later.
Thank you for indulging me by telephone.
Okay. And the board will reconvene on September 7th
in
San Luis Obispo.